There was a great theologian by the name of Vance Havner. And he said his father was so faithful in coming to church, even when the weather is bad. So he wrote a poem about his father. And it goes simply like this: whether the weather is good, whether the weather is bad, he weathered the weather to be in the house of God. Amen. I think that's what you did this morning. Amen. You weathered the weather to be in the house of the Lord. Praise God for that. Open your Bible to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. And this morning I'm going to share with you a message about wiping out worrying. See, in my long-term preaching calendar for this year, and also in our current sermon series, I was absolutely not planning to speak about worrying. But God changed my plan. And of course, because God is the King of the universe, I let Him change the plan. And I finally just said to Him, fine, okay, if that's what you wanted. So today, as we conclude our sermon series on Life is Short, Let's Simplify It. Yeah, today is the finale of our sermon series. And again, the thesis of this sermon series is pretty simple. We want to try to remove or, if possible, eliminate the causes or the sources of our stress and distress, because those are harmful to us, and we certainly don't want that, because they would certainly shorten our life even more. And one of those causes or sources of our stress and distress is worrying. Worrying. I don't know, but here in the last few weeks, God has just been teaching me a lot about it, even though I don't want to hear anything about it. Whether I am at home, at work, or at church, I've been hearing a lot about worrying or pertaining to it. For instance, on a Sunday school, during a single Sunday school, Devron, if you remember that Sunday, he asked us a question as to how to overcome worrying. The following week, I got a call from a lady, and that she's very worried about her health condition. Now, this past week, I was at a patient's room, and a man went into the room and gave him a piece of paper. And on that piece of paper, it reads, lilies of the fields, which the guy, the patient, was happy because I guess he was trying to find out as to what is the title of a movie or a song. But then I made a comment that I found those words, lilies of the fields, in the Bible pertaining to Jesus talking about worrying. And then, of course, on Wednesday morning, as we know, we had that severe weather. And praise God, it's not as bad as last week as if today's weather. But remember that we had that severe storm, and all of our neighbors, including mine's fences, went down. So now we only have one big yard, including the neighbor's yard. And while we're there, Wednesday morning, we were talking, and I sensed their worries about the damages in their properties. And in my quiet time on a daily basis, seems like God was just impressing in my heart, speak about worrying, speak about worrying, speak about worrying. And finally said, okay, that's fine if that's what you want. So here this morning, I'm going to share a message about how we can wipe out our worries. Well, let's find out as we turn again to Matthew 6, 25 through 34. And in reverence, once again, to the reading of the Word of God, let's all stand. Verse 25, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You may be seated. Now let's look at the background of this passage that we read. Now this passage is part of God's Sermon on the Mount, or Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Literally, he preached on the mountain, or from the mountain. You see that in Matthew 5:1. Now it was called the Sermon of the Mount, not only because he was on top of the mountain preaching, but it also covers a lot of grounds. Chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew are all part of Jesus' sermons on the Mount. Now notice here, however, in verse 25, that Jesus started his passage or this part of the sermon by saying, therefore. Did you notice that? He said, therefore. Now that word is an adverb, therefore, and it means as a result of, or for that reason, or consequently. In other words, there must be a condition that would lead to something. There must be a situation that if we be part of, or a condition that we do, it would result to this. You following me here? That's why he said, therefore. That's why every time you read the word therefore in the Bible, you have to ask the question, what's the therefore? Because it means there's a condition that if we do, would lead to something like this. For instance, TCU basketball played a great basketball during the NIT tournament. Therefore, they won the championship. You following me here? All right? Or, for instance, sadly, probably heard this in the news, two brothers in Fort Worth. Remember them? They were there in the park, and they accidentally stepped on a puddle of water with down power lines. Remember that story? You heard it in the news? And therefore, they were both electrocuted. Or this morning, you are here to church. You made it to church in spite of the weather. Therefore, God is honored. So every time we read the therefore, it's important that we ask the question, what's the therefore? That means we have to find out the condition why Jesus said therefore. Look at verse 25 again. He said, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. So now we ask the question, therefore, what's the therefore? In other words, what's causing, what's leading, what's resulting to worrying, right? So that means we have to read the verse or the verses before it, because that would tell us the condition that leads to worrying. Are you still with me? Come on now, wake up, Cap Rock Church. Woohoo! Now look at verse 24, because we have to read the verse before the therefore, right? Look at verse 24. Matthew 6:24. I should have it up there. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, what is Jesus saying here? Simple. You cannot serve God and money at the same time. In other words, you cannot have two gods, because either you will devote to one and despise the other, or the reverse. You will despise one and devote the other. But here in particular, he's talking about God and money. So therefore, here's what he's saying. If we try, or when we try to serve both God and money at the same time, it would lead to, as a result, consequently, therefore, it would lead to worrying. Worrying. Every time we try to serve God and money at the same time, it leads to worrying. Perhaps that's why you are a worrier. Perhaps that's why your life is, you're always worried because perhaps you're trying to serve two masters, God and money. Now, what is that like? How do you serve God and money at the same time? Well, it's simple. It's like this. Let's say you are a person who pays your tithe. Well, that's great. That's great. You pay your tithe. But you're never at church. Why? Because you have to come or go to work in order to earn money so you can pay your tithe. That's an example of trying to serve two masters, God and money. Or the reverse. The reverse. In other words, you're always at church, but you never pay your tithe because your belief is my money is my money. That's why you're struggling in financial, in your financial situation in your life. But here's what you do. But you come to church all the time to ask God to bless you financially. That's an example of trying to serve God and money. How about this one? Many of you could relate. An example of trying to serve God and money is this. You buy lotto tickets. You know, those Powerball, you know, step two, Texas step two. You know, so you buy lotto tickets, right? Which is gambling, which is no trust in God. But here's what you do. I buy the ticket, and then you turn around and pray, God, let me win this lotto. But that doesn't work. That simply means you're trying to serve God and money at the same time. And that leads to worrying, right? That's what Jesus is saying here. But then he adds, it doesn't work. Look at verse 24. It doesn't work. No one can serve two masters. If you try to balance it out, which will never be balanced, it would only lead to worrying. But then look at the continuation of the verses that we read. He tells us now further, he explains further to us why we should not worry and the actions we need to take in order to wipe out worrying. The first one is found in verse 25. We should not worry because it is sinful. It is sinful. Why? It is sinful because when we worry, we disobey. Worrying is disobedience. Why? Look at the verses that we read. Three times in this passage, Jesus commanded his disciples, do not worry. Look at verse 25. He said, therefore I tell you, do not worry. Look at verse 31. So do not worry. In verse 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow. But not only here, in other passages or verses in the Bible, we are commanded not to worry. Philippians 4:6, it says this, don't worry about anything. So if it's a command of the Lord Jesus Christ, now help me out here, help me out. If Jesus commands us and then we don't obey, what do we call that? Disobedience, right? Exactly, disobedience. And disobedience is sin. We don't want to disobey him because that's sin, and sin would lead to separation from God. For instance, in Isaiah 59 verse 2, it says, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you. Iniquity is sin. Sin is iniquity. In other words, if we have sin in our life, like disobedience, then that would serve as a dark cloud, just like the dark clouds that we have this morning. Irene mentioned that as we were driving to church. She said, look at the dark clouds, and we could not see the sun. The light, why? Because of the dark clouds. It has become a barrier. Same thing with sin. Sin has become a barrier, a dark cloud hovering over us that because of that, we are separated from God. We don't want to be separated from God. I don't know about you, but that would scare me to death if I would find out that I have been separated from God. Because that means if I'm separated from God, no blessing, no security, no protection. I mean, that alone, or those alone. Can you imagine you're separated from God and on a daily basis, you don't have protection or security? Can you imagine that? And then storms come. Oh, no. And then ISIS comes, right? And then bad people come. Or your in-laws come. Now, I'm glad so you're paying attention, just trying to make sure you're awake. You know, but can you imagine without the protection of God, because you've been separated from God? That would be scary. But that is brought about by worrying, because worrying is disobedience, and disobedience is sin. Second, worrying is sinful because it means you're doubting God. You doubt God. Look at verses 25 and 26. Jesus said, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes?" Now look at verse 26. "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" So when we worry, we are doubting that God really cares about me. When we worry, we're doubting that God sees me as important to Him. When we worry, we doubt that we are valuable to Him. But we are so valuable to God. We are His highest creation. Psalm 139, it says this. Or rather, James 1:6. "He who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind." So that means every time we worry, we doubt that we believe that we are God's highest creation. But when we worry, we doubt. So that means every time we doubt, our life becomes like waves being tossed by the wind. In other words, imagine the waves in the sea. You know how when they are being tossed by the wind, they go all over the place, right? Like they're chaotic, erratic, frantic. Same thing with the life of a person who doubts that God is able to meet his or her own need. That's why it is sinful when we worry, because that means we doubt God. Now, here's the problem with sin. Sin not only brings stress and distress in our life, it also makes our life a mess. Certainly, we don't want to do that. Secondly, we should not worry. Why? Not only because it's sinful, it is unreasonable. Why is worrying unreasonable? Because it is senseless. Senseless. Silly. Or a word that I'm going to simply use once. And forgive me for saying it if you're going to be offended. Worrying is stupid. Period. Why? It's senseless or silly. Why? Look at the analogies of the Lord Jesus Christ. First, he said the birds of the air, they eat and drink, and yet they don't work, they don't have a job, they don't have a bank account, but then they would never worry about what they're going to eat or drink. Right? So as the lilies of the field, just like the little note my patient received from this person. Lilies of the field. Look how they grow beautifully by natural process. Right? In other words, they are beautiful, they dress beautifully, but they never work, they never toil, they never labor or spin. So if the birds of the air or the lilies of the field are provided for by God, then it's senseless if we say, "God, I don't think you can meet me there. I don't think you can provide there." If God could meet the needs of the lilies of the field and so as the birds of the air, then it is senseless, it's silly for us, unreasonable for us to think otherwise. That means we don't believe what he said in verse 32. Look at what he said in verse 32. "For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." Can you imagine that? Once again, it brings us back to the questioning our God, whether he really cares about us or not, considering that he fearfully and wonderfully made us. In Psalm 139, verse 14, "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Can you imagine? You are precious in his sight. You are higher than the birds, higher than the vegetation, and he will provide for you, because not only that you are his highest creation, you are also a precious child of God. Romans 8, 15 through 17. "But you receive the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father." That word Abba, Aramaic, literally means daddy. So you can say daddy to God because He is your dad. But then it says, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. But I've noticed one thing here that I find it so appealing to me. Three times, Jesus emphasized our worth and value to God. Did you notice that? Three times, He mentioned that in verses 25, 26, and 30. He mentioned it three times. Now, let me say this. This is important. Every time the word is repeated in the Bible three times, such as in addressing God, the angel said, "Holy, holy, holy." Or here in the command of Jesus not to worry, He mentioned it how many times? Three times. Do not worry, do not worry, do not worry. Every time we read in the Bible three things repeated over and over within the same passage, you know what that means? It simply means this. That's important. Listen up. Pay attention. Don't miss out on it. You follow me here? That's what He's saying. But notice here, three times. Three times. Three times Jesus tells us our worth and value. Look at verse 25. Is not your life more important than food? Look at verse 26. Are you not much more valuable? Look at verse 30. Will He not much more clothe you? Wow. I mean, right then alone, we can eliminate our self-pity or our self or low self-esteem that's saying, I am a nobody. Yes, you are, because God is your daddy. You are not a nobody. You are worth so much to God. But not only that, that when we do that, he's emphasizing our worth, and then it's senseless to doubt, because here's what we're saying. Oh, I know God. God, you can give me the greater things. Your son, my salvation, my eternal life. But then I don't think you can give me the lesser things, like food and clothes and medicine and job and home. That's what we do. That's why it's unreasonable or senseless that we worry. But not only that it is senseless that we worry, it also makes us sick. To worry is unreasonable because it makes us sick. Look at verse 27. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Anyone? The answer is no one. No one gain any amount of time by worrying. No one has ever extended his or her life by worrying. Most of our patients in the hospital, they die sooner. Why? Because they were so worried about their condition. Why? Worrying is harmful. You know why? Hear how many times did Jesus repeated the word worry? Several times. That word worry came from the original language of the New Testament, which is Greek, and it literally means, which the word merimnu, which means this, to choke, to strangulate your life. That's why when we worry, it makes us sick, because you're choking or strangulating the life out of you. I love what John Hagee, longtime pastor and author, said once. Worry will get you to only one place ahead of time, the cemetery. Isn't that the truth? And according to America's finest physicians, worrying causes cancer, depression, heart disease, high blood pressure, stroke, and stomach ulcers, and so much more. So it is so unreasonable to worry because it makes us sick. But also, we should not worry. Why? Because worrying is faithlessness. It means we don't really believe in God. When we worry, that means we have no faith in God. That means we don't trust God. Look at what He said. Look at what Jesus calls those who worry in verse 30. Look at verse 30. He calls those who are worrying what? You of little faith. Now, I know what you're doing. I know exactly what you're doing right now. But Pastor, at least there is little faith. Right, Deron? At least there is little faith. But listen, little faith in the Bible means no faith at all. Just like partial obedience means disobedience. That's why Jesus said, you of little faith. Because it's ridiculous that we worry and we can say this, you know, I know God, you can save my soul. I know God, you can deliver me from hell. I know God, you can rescue me from the domain of darkness. But I don't think you can really provide my need. That means it's faithlessness. We don't really believe what he said once again in verse 32. The Heavenly Father knows that you need them. Now, to wake you up this morning, just to awaken your soul, let's have a show of hand, okay? Let's make this interactive, all right? Let's make this interactive. If you believe what I'm going to say, you simply raise your right hand or your left hand or both hands, not your feet, all right? Either right hand or left hand. How many of you believe that God raised dead people to life? Okay, wow. All right. How many of you believe that God parted the Red Sea? How many of you believe that God, in Jesus, walked on water? How many of you believed that Jesus fed thousands of people with just bread and fish? All right. How many of you believe that God created everything? Well, okay, thank you for participating. But think about this. You believe all of that about God, but then when you doubt, you say, but I don't think you can provide me with the basic necessities in my life. Come on now. That's why it is faithlessness. We don't really believe in God. We don't really trust Him every time we worry. Now, I'm glad Jesus did not leave us hanging there and say, you should not worry. I'm glad he tells us how. The how. Look at verses 33 and 34. He tells us here a couple of actions that we can take in order to wipe out, to eliminate worrying. The first one is live for God. Got to live for God. Look at verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. I love the emphasis on if you seek his kingdom and his righteousness, all these things, not a few, not some, not many, all these things. In other words, all your basic necessities, I got it covered. That's what Jesus is saying here. But to live for God is this. He says, so you will not worry, you have to live for me. How? Seek his kingdom and seek his righteousness. What's that supposed to mean? Well, it means this. To seek his kingdom means to let him rule over you. To let him have a sovereign reign over your life. But then he adds, seek also my righteousness. That means you have to submit also to his will. Now, how would I know his will? I don't know how to find out about his will. I wonder, how do you know? Do you know, Mr. Remy, how I can find out God's will? Do you know? In the Word. In the Word. So we don't have to listen to Oprah or Dr. Phil or turn on the television and to find out God's will. God's will is right here in his word. That's what he's saying here. To seek his righteousness is not only to let him have a sovereign reign over your life, but also you're going to submit to his will as found in his word. So that means if you are saying, God, you rule over my life. God, I want your will, not my will. That means here's what you're saying, I'm living for you. That means it's what you're saying, God, you're my priority. God, you're real in my life. God, on a daily basis, you act in my life. God, I can't live without you. That's what you're saying. It's just like the oxygen in your lungs. Without the oxygen in your lungs, you can't live. Or just like the blood in your body. Without the blood in your body, then you die. Or just without the atmosphere in the sky, then we are consumed by sun's radiation. Same thing. You're saying you can't live with God, and so therefore you live for God. You're submitting to Him. Now hear me out. You are submitting to His rule, submitting to His will as found in His Word. So that means I'm not going to worry about my health. Why? Because His will said He's my great physician. And that's found in His Word. I'm not going to worry about my finances. Why? Because His will is, He's going to supply all my needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So that means I'm not going to have to worry about my future Because His will says in His word, He holds my future. I'm not going to worry about my kids' future. Why? Because His word, which is His will, says that God is going to rescue them with His righteous right hand. I'm not going to worry about what other people are saying about me. Why? Because the Bible says, which is His will, His word says that you are the trophy of His grace. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to worry about being afraid of the devil. Why? Because His will says, greater is He who is in me than the one who is in the world. I'm not going to worry about my grades or my schooling or even my research paper right now. Why? Because the Bible says, I will not let you be forsaken. I'm not going to worry. I'm just going to live for God so He can wipe out my worries. And then secondly, live for today. Live for today. Look at verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. What is he saying there? Live for today. Don't live for tomorrow. Live for the moment, as Irene would always say. Don't worry about tomorrow. Why? Well, tomorrow is not guaranteed anyways. Plus, tomorrow, according to the Lord, has its own cares or troubles. So we need to live for today. We don't want to be living in the yesterday. Why? Because that's the past. We don't want to live in the tomorrow because that's the future. We live for today because today is God's gift. That's why it's called the present. In James 1:22, it says this. Do not merely listen to the word, so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. We heard something about worrying today. Many of you are broken and hurting and harmed and sick because of worrying. Why? Because the word of God is not meant for us just to learn it. It's meant for us to live it out. It's not meant to please us. It's meant to be practiced. It's not meant to entertain us. It's meant to enhance our life. So what is your decision today? Are you going to be doer of the word or listener only? Are you going to act on what you heard today about worrying, or are you just going to let it fly by? What is your decision this morning? You have to make a decision today that you're going to live your life no more worrying, but instead living for God and live for today.